This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is now 6:09 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin, and we're shifting it over to Malaysia, specifically to Sabah, because we're looking at the court case on the dissolution of Sabah State Assembly and its implications on the judiciary. This comes as the Sabah High Court dismissed Tan Sri Musa Aman's application to challenge the dissolution made by Governor Tun Johor Mahiruddin.
Yep, to recap, Tan Sri Musa filed the application because he claimed the governor had not fully understood the political situation before dissolving the assembly. This is after Tan Sri Musa had claimed that he had the numbers to form a new government.
Right, so back to the court's decision. State Attorney General Brendan Keith So said that the dismissal shows that the dissolution was constitutional because ultimately he said that it's up to the governor's discretion to dissolve the state assembly.
You know, with a decision like this, not everyone has necessarily agreed. Sabah Progressive Party President Datuk Seri Yong Teck Lee says that the decision could set a dangerous precedent. He argued that if the governor's move to dissolve the assembly can't be subjected to a court of law, then none of his actions could be challenged. So today what we want to do is we want to zoom in on this decision, specifically what it implies for the relationship between Sabah's judiciary and head of state.
So it just looks like, as you know, just as the state elections are coming up, and you know, I guess a lot of politicians are looking for a smooth road ahead. Something you know holds that back, or at least looks like it is going to with this court challenge. It's interesting. I think it is. You know, it's a very big deal, the statement by Datuk Seri Yong Teck Lee, because it implies, you know, it implies sort of the check and balance, right, needed in our state governments and our federal government. So it is a big thing to be saying that, you know, could this set a bad precedent for the governor not being questioned in the future? And some of the examples he cited was, you know, what if he makes, you know, a criminal decision, or you know, he bypasses even the chief minister and starts making decisions on his own. So it's, I think, a lot of questions to be answered here.
Yep, and we will be getting some of those answered with Joshua Wu, lawyer and legal commentator. So stay tuned for that conversation that's coming up after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And we're now looking at the High Court's decision in Sabah to dismiss the application challenging the dissolution of the state assembly by Governor Tun Johor Mahiruddin. And basically, after this happened, Sabah Progressive Party President Datuk Seri Yong Teck Lee said that the decision could set a dangerous precedent, because if the government's, if the governor's move to dissolve the assembly can't be questioned in court, then perhaps in the future, none of his actions can be legally challenged. So we want to zoom in on the decision, specifically the relationship between Sabah's judiciary and head of state. And to do that, we're heading to lawyer and legal commentator Joshua Wu. Thanks for being on the show, Joshua. So the judicial commissioner said that the governor's decision to dissolve the Sabah Assembly was non-justiciable. Could you help us understand what this means and what the basis for his decision was?
Okay. Just a little bit of background. In a judicial review proceeding, there will be two stages, namely the lee stage and the substantive stage. At the lee stage, the courts have to consider roughly around three things. Firstly, whether the matter is justiciable. Secondly, whether an arguable case may be disclosed. And thirdly, whether the relief sought may be granted. So in this case, the learned judicial commissioner looked at the first issue, which is namely whether it is justiciable, and concluded that it is not. So justiciability revolves around a question of whether a decision is reviewable, meaning the courts can have the power or the jurisdiction to look into that matter. So some examples of non-justiciable matters include the dissolution of parliament, the appointment of ministers, the conduct of foreign policy. So in this case, the Learned Judicial Commissioner decided that pursuant to the Sabah State Constitution, that the governor's decision is not reviewable by the courts. And so he refused to grant leave to file judicial review.
What exactly does the Sabah Constitution say about the governor's ability to dissolve the State Assembly?
Yeah, okay. So under Article 21, Sub 2, the Yang Di-Pertuan agree, the governor, has the power to dissolve the State Legislative Assembly. I think that is not in dispute here. The question is, did he do it on advice, meaning he had to comply with it, or whether it was on request? So Article 10, Sub 1 of the Constitution says, as a general rule, that the Yang Di-Pertuan agree must act in accordance with the advice of the cabinet. And where he has to act in accordance with advice, it must be accepted by him and he must act accordingly. The Yang Di-Pertuan agree only has discretion in two areas, namely the appointment of the chief minister, as well as withholding of consent to request for the dissolution of the Legislative Assembly. So it all revolves around Article 10 and whether or not the Yang Di-Pertuan agree acted under advice or whether he acted upon a request. So Article 7 of the Sabah State Constitution says that if the chief minister ceases to command the confidence of majority of the members of the Legislative Assembly, then unless at his request the Yang Di-Pertuan agree dissolve the assembly, he shall tender his resignation of the members of the cabinet. So in simple terms, essentially once a chief minister ceases to command the confidence of the majority, he has two options. One, to request the Yang Di-Pertuan agree to dissolve the assembly, or two, to tender his resignation as well as the resignation of the members of the cabinet. And then, of course, the TYT will then inquire and find out who has the confidence of the majority, and then that person will be appointed as the chief minister. So, yeah, that's essentially it. This Article 10 and Article 7 is in key contention under this judicial review application. I think in contention is whether or not the TYT was advised in which he has to follow that advice, or whether there was a request. Because Article 10 sub 2 gives the Yang Di-Pertuan agree the request to withhold consent to dissolve. So in the event Tan Sri Shafi'i requested for dissolution, the TYT has the discretion to say no, we're not going to dissolve. But in the event Tan Sri Shafi'i advised the TYT to dissolve the Legislative Assembly, then the TYT has no choice but to dissolve the Legislative Assembly.
And is it known whether the dissolution was made on either the advice or the request of Dato' Sri Shafi'i Abdal?
I think there are news articles wherein Tan Sri Shafi'i says he requested and the TYT consented. But I think we don't have enough evidence to know for sure whether it was an advice or whether it was a request.
Okay, so how does this differ to the situation in West Malaysia when it comes to the powers of the head of state in dissolving the state assembly?
I think I looked at the Perak State Constitution and the Selangor State Constitution. Essentially, they are about the same. Both Selangor, Perak, as well as Sabah have this clause where if the Menteri Besar ceases to command the confidence of the majority, then two options again. Either request the Royal Highness to dissolve or to tender his resignation or the resignation of the entire cabinet. So actually, to a large extent, it's similar. Just that in Sabah, the power is exercised by the governor. Meanwhile, in West Malaysia, it's exercised by the head of state.
Right. So there are claims that the governor should have met with all state representatives before dissolving the Sabah Assembly. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that would have been ideal. If we look back to the crisis in February 2020, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong actually interviewed all 222 MPs and asked them, you know, who do you support, before the YDPA came to a decision as to who commanded the confidence of the majority of the members of parliament. However, in the past, during the Perak constitutional crisis, Dato' Sri Najib, as chairman of the Perak BN, had an audience with the Sultan, and he presented letters of support with signatures from 28 members of BN and three other assembly persons saying they would support a BN candidate. And then when these 31 members had an audience before the Sultan, they also declared their support for BN. So I think we have two options here. One option would be, of course, to have an audience before the Sultan and say, yeah, I support candidate A or I support candidate B. Another option from the Perak constitutional crisis is to use letters of support. It would have been ideal to meet all the state reps. However, the TYT could have just gone with accepting maybe statutory declarations or other letters of support.
So Sabah Progressive Party President Dato' Sri Yong Teck Lee said that the High Court's decision could set a dangerous precedent. He said this means that none of the governor's actions can be challenged. Would you agree with this statement?
No, I think that is an oversimplification of the matter, and it's actually quite misleading. As I've explained earlier, under Article 10 sub 1, as a general rule, the Yang Di-Pertuan Negeri must act in accordance with the advice of the cabinet. Only two situations can the TYP act in its absolute discretion, namely the appointment of the chief minister and the withholding of consent to dissolve the legislative assembly. So for the most part, the TYT has to, pursuant to the state constitution, to act in accordance with the advice of the cabinet. So the TYT can't just go around and dismiss ministers without the CM's advice or confer datukships on notorious convicts as alleged. Such decisions would most likely be justiciable.
Now, Tan Sri Musa Aman and the 33 other assemblymen are planning to appeal the court's decision. Where would you expect this to be heading next?
Okay, this can go two different ways. Once they appeal to the Court of Appeal, they are likely to file what we call a certificate of urgency. So this will notify the court to say this is a very important matter, it needs to be heard soon. And so the Court of Appeal will likely hear it. And in the event the Court of Appeal agrees with Tan Sri Musa Aman and the 32 other state assembly persons that the High Court was wrong, leave for judicial review will then be granted. And as I mentioned earlier, it will go back to the High Court and the judge will hear the second stage, namely the substantive stage, as to whether or not the decision by the TYT to dissolve the state assembly was, for example, procedurally improper or unreasonable or these other grounds of judicial review. However, in the event the Court of Appeal affirms the decision of the High Court, then Tan Sri Musa Aman and co. will have to file an application for leave to appeal to the Federal Court to go up to the next level. In the event they are granted leave and they are successful, then it will be heard by the Federal Court in the substantive stage. And if the Federal Court agrees with the Court of Appeal and High Court, that's the end of their matter. If the Federal Court disagrees with the Court of Appeal and High Court, then the Federal Court sends it down back to the High Court to be heard. All in all, by the time this matter is resolved, it will likely be academic because the state election needs to be conducted within 60 days from the date of dissolution. And if I'm not mistaken, the dissolution was on 30th July. So this gives them end of September to conduct the election.
So when you say it becomes academic, does it mean that the that the court decision would have no bearing on the outcome and results of the Sabah state elections?
Correct. Likely, once matters are academic, the courts generally are unwilling to hear it because at the end of the day, whatever decision is made, it does not really have any practical impact.
Joshua, thanks so much for those clarifications. That was lawyer and legal commentator Joshua Wu with some analysis on the High Court's dismissal of 33 Sabah Assemblymen suit against the governor for dissolving the Sabah state government. You can keep your thoughts coming. Do send them, keep them coming and send them through. In the meantime, we're headed to some music. We've got Sly and the Family Stone with Everyday People. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.